This is Susan Robb for Teachers for a New Era. I'm talking with Bob Shea, who's the author-illustrator of New Socks, Dinosaur Versus Bedtime, and also Big Plans, a book that was illustrated by Lane Smith. He began working as a print designer and then moved on to doing broadcast design, including work on PBS Kids, and then was doing interstitial work, and later moved on with his own design firm, where he was doing work for Noggin.
Mm-hmm.
The other, so Bob, what I wanted to ask you, starting out, is what some of the differences are in working in animation and now moving on into the books that you've been doing.
Well, it really sort of all came full circle because, like as you mentioned, I started out as a print designer, and then from that I went to broadcast design. So my broadcast design was influenced by my print design, which is why a lot of the broadcast design I did, everything looked very flat, and I like to think of the frames as like poster frames or as layouts you would see as print layouts. So things were very bold, and it was very contrast and color and all the basic tenets of print design. But now with the added bonus of sound and movement, which I had to learn really quickly, which is adds a whole other dimension of things to think about. But then what happened was when I was doing the books again, which were then print design again, essentially, they were influenced by my work in animation. So it was the same problem solving where I was like, I needed to make the pages dynamic. I like simple layouts. I like simple illustrations. So to make that simplicity interesting, you have to use nice color palettes and nice layouts and nice nice typography and just use all those things to make it move through the book really nicely.
I wondered, for example, I know you did print design for Comedy Central, mm-hmm. and then you've done broadcast design like for PBS Kids. So can you describe each of those like an example of what a print design for Comedy Central mm-hmm. might have looked like and a broadcast design, what those two things are, if in mm-hmm. case people don't know what that is exactly.
Sure. When I was doing print design for Comedy Central, it was one of the reasons was I like to do design. I was a designer. I was trained as a designer. But I was writing a lot of humorous pieces at the time. So I was like, well, I want to go somewhere where I can do design, but I can do funny stuff as well. So a lot of the print materials were like for the ad people. So they would send it out to promote new shows and things. So I could help write the copy with the copywriter and come up with concepts that were like, that were fun and silly or whatever, and then design them. But they were much more grown up and sophisticated. Like some things looked actually very elegant, and then you'd read them and find out they were ridiculous. Or it'd be like posters for Jon Stewart that were very not traditional design, but very much more sophisticated than what I was doing for PBS Kids. Then when I was doing the broadcast for PBS Kids, it was a whole different world because I worked with a creative director who really had a nice vision about the whole thing, and it was just much more colorful, and then adding the animation and adding, like I said, adding sound and movement, it was this whole other world, and it was really exciting. They actually are two totally opposite things, and you could still have fun because a lot of the interstitial work I did, like the pig runs around and only eats things that starts with the letter P, they're still fun, silly, simple things, but it's just it's a different a little bit of a different sensibility.
So in your books, one of the things I did notice is that with Dinosaur Versus Bedtime, you've begun to it seems like a little bit of a concern that you have potentially creating an enemy with Mo Willems, who we know from his picture books about Pigeon. So he said that he hated the book, but in a very nice way. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, that was actually really nice. I mean, the book came out. After the book came out, I started obsessively Googling my name, which I seem to like to do now, to see if there's a blog post about it or any kind of thing, you know, because that's what I do now. So I came across this thing about Mo Willems talks about Dinosaur Versus Bedtime. I'm like, oh, this couldn't go well. And then I listened to it. It was on a podcast, and he said, "I hate Dinosaur Versus Bedtime," and he goes on to say he hated it because because he hadn't thought of it first, and he hated that it was funny, and he hated that it was nicely designed, and he hated that the illustration was nice. So it was really just a super, it just was a super endorsement from Mo. So that was kind of cool. I sent him an email and I was like, I hate you too. Thank you very much. But he's very nice about it.
He's funny and he's great. Now, the bulletin for the Center of Children's Books actually said about that, it's almost impossible to read this silently because of the roars and the WrestleMania style. And when you were working on that book, I mean, it does come across as a very out loud, really fun book. So how did it feel when writing it? Were you, you know, did you feel like you were yelling out loud as you were doing it?
Yeah, I really did, because once I had the premise, once I had the rhythm, I just had to come up with the scenarios, and the result was always yay. It was always roar. So I mean, it was fun to write, because, you know, just writing in my pad, and every fourth word I got to write roar as big as I possibly could. So I mean, it was fun. It was fun to work on.
Now, he is very big type in this book, and your characters seem quite noisy. Are there a lot of characters that you have in your head that are noisy, waiting to come out, you think?
Yeah, I seem to lean towards that, towards the yelling kind of thing. But I think that I like to make things kind of exciting. You know, it's like it's kids' books, and kids are. They yell. They run. You know, before I had my son, people would say, well, your kid's going to run around the house screaming. And I was like, well, they don't really run around the house screaming. That's like hyperbole. But times he would just run around the house running, screaming. Not, he wasn't on fire. He wasn't, there's nothing wrong. He wasn't anything. Just screaming. So I was like, well, they seem to like that. And they're fun books to read for the parents. So why not try to make some that way? You know, I like the quiet books too. Like, I love Maisie. I love Maisie. But I mean, you know, I have to read them. I'm going to write what I like, and I'm going to write what my son likes, you know, or what I hope kids like. So,
were you like that as a kid? Were you noisy?
I actually was not. I don't know what it is. I think it's from not being that way. I was actually pretty, like, not super quiet, but I was like just kind of like would write stories, and I was pretty well behaved. It's actually a little embarrassing now that I'm a grown up. I was really like a pretty good kid growing up.
Nothing Maybe it saying. Skips a generation, though.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I'm like, what's wrong with my son? He's so crazy, but he's a good boy. It's all very good natured. He just, little boys have lots of energy, you know. It doesn't mean they're bad. So he just likes to run around.
So how old is he, and what does he think about your books?
He's 4 and a half. None of the books have trains in them, so he's not exactly a fan. Actually, he loves Dinosaur versus Bedtime. I don't read him my books because it's weird. I don't want to be like, here's another one that daddy wrote, you know, and hold it out in front of him. If he wants to read Thomas for the 100th time, great. I'm so glad that he loves books. We just started reading him like chapter books. We're reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and he loves it. I was like, you know, it might be a little old for him. We'll see. And he just loves it, and I'm over the moon about it. But like Dinosaur, and I have another book coming out called Race You to Bed that my wife showed him because she doesn't share the same concerns as me. And he loves it, and he quotes it all the time. You know, he's like, sees every night going to bed is a race to bed because of that book.
That's great. Now, actually, I have a question for you along those lines, which is, I mean, it's difficult. You talk to a lot of people, and people say, oh, my kid's just not a reader. And that's obviously, for all of us in this business, a big concern. I mean, was that ever a concern of yours? I mean, was it an option, or did you consider whether your kid might be a reader or not a reader, and how did you come at that? Because obviously, you know, you're talking about him loving books.
Yeah, you know, we there was never anything that we consciously did to, we didn't discourage it, but there were just always books around, and every night we'd read to him every night. We didn't, you know, force it on him. Our feeling is whatever his interests are his interests. As it turns out, they're similar to mine. You know, he's not as coordinated or into sports, but he's like super super bright, you know. So, and you know, and I, it, you know, but So we've always put books around him because that's what we like. So that's what he's exposed to. So we're happy that he's a reader.
That's something I think we'll all hope. It is interesting because I think people where it is a part of their life, it does come very naturally. And I guess my last question is about future plans. I mean, you talked about the one book. What are some of the other things we can look forward to?
Well, I'm going to keep doing some books. There's some more in the pipeline, and I'm really looking forward to I did big plans with Lane Smith, and we've been very collaborative on other things as well, just in terms of whatever we're working on, send them back and forth and get opinions and things. So I'm looking forward to doing some more things with him. I'm going to try my hand at doing a chapter book, and eventually try to even do some more grown-up writing as well, just to try to it's a great field because it's so experimental, and if you're creative and you just want to always experiment and try new things, and it's really, you really get the freedom to do that. So I'm going to try a lot of things, and most of them will fail, and that's great. That's, you know, just you're always just doing something new, you know, so it's good.
What we were wondering, Bob, is what was your favorite children's book growing up and why?
I had actually a couple of favorites, and not actually even a favorite, but a favorite series. I used to read the Encyclopedia Brown series pretty regularly. I burned through that pretty quickly. And then there was a book called The Great Brain that I remember, and I remember I must have read that two or three times. Cricket in Times Square I read a few times as well. And then, you know, when I was smaller, it was a lot of Dr. Seuss books around, and it was, my mother had the Book of the Month Club kind of thing. So there was just always a new book around.
Those are great books. So tell me, so now that you're grown up, what do you read now?
Well, now I read, not so many Encyclopedia Browns anymore, but I read, I'm actually reading two kids' books right now. I'm reading two Roald Dahl books. The Twits and the BFG. I just got those from the library, and I'm reading a book about FDR, the New Deal years. And I just read a Jack Handy book, which was hilarious, called What I'd Say to the Martians, which was a bunch of like funny essays. Steve Martin's biography. I really like David Sedaris. And so I'm kind of all over the map. I read just a diverse range of things, whatever. I just read whatever, and lots of magazines too.
Well, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.